The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I did it.
Huh?
Started it.
Started what?
You're far away from your microphone.
Oh, there we go. How's that?
I think we agreed to this. Is that somebody else's bit about trail mix?
What about?
About how it's just a way to like trick you to like eat like it's just M&Ms, but you're like, oh, but look, there's a fucking peanut.
I never heard that.
It's just a trickster way to eat M&Ms. Like, but I'm, oh, but no, don't worry, there's no trail. I've never been on a trail that grew M&Ms.
That's true.
That's not nature. Well, it's not, it's a nature mix with blue candy.
Mm-hmm. You should retweet.
This might be a terrible
your thing.
Idea.
You tweeted out on the Boogie Monster thing, but Kyle Kinane should retweet it because he has a lot more followers.
Does he?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to start referring to myself in third person. What are we? Mm-hmm. Why were we talking about there? We're out there. We're so excited about doing this.
Uh huh.
And then we got distracted by
your trail mix.
Yeah.
I don't appreciate how they put a bunch of M&Ms in there, but they're not going to salt the peanuts and the cashews.
Because it's already just bullshit, man. Like, you can't, like, wait.
Yeah, it's already bullshit, so why not just go all the way?
Maybe too much salt?
A fucking unsalted peanut with a damn M&M.
This is going to go bad.
What do you mean, what were we excited about? Oh.
Were we excited about the reason we're like, we should absolutely record another one.
Yeah.
We're just crumbling.
No. Oh, shit. It was something. Oh, hold on, it's coming. The colonel. I'm going to be the next colonel. Probably not.
Okay, let's, all right.
I got an audition tomorrow to be the new colonel.
Look out. Oh, God. All right, well, boy, this is all crumbling.
What is that, by the way?
You need to put the microphone by your mouth.
By the mouth while I'm eating?
You're about to audition to be the next colonel.
Yeah.
And you've already forgotten how microphones work from the half hour ago when we finished last week's episode.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't say last week's. We're trying to make this an evergreen episode.
Exactly.
In case it goes all to hell.
Uh-huh.
Well, it's all Justin, whoever's name, Dylan W. said, get drunk for this one, and we listened, and now we're fucked.
Good job, Justin or Dylan.
So, all right. You know, we're not opposed to show business talk on this.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave informed me out on the veranda just now.
Is that a veranda?
I have no idea.
Huh.
I don't know what a veranda is.
Me neither, but it sounds good.
I know, right?
Uh-huh.
Like balcony seems like more of a, like,
balcony seems like we're going to.
A Vita type situation. I'm addressing the popular. I don't know what a Vita is about at all.
But she is on a balcony talking to people.
Madonna.
Uh-huh.
Anyway.
I think a balcony. I think someone's going to commit suicide.
You go negative right away.
I guess so.
All right. Okay. Yeah, that you said you're going to audition to be the next colonel.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of questions about this.
Okay, let's talk about it. And I'll stop eating trail mix.
I mean, you can put your hand over the mic and chew the trail mix.
That's true.
But you're like, I'm like, our levels.
Uh-huh.
Again, we're getting used to the new setup.
Yeah.
And I feel like mine, like, right, okay, right here is.
Well, you're right upon it.
But it's still, I got it set low. I got it set. Turn a little bit higher. Yeah, see, yours is hot. Yours is, you got a hot one.
By the way. I saw a guy the other day who was so fat that he was snoring while he was awake.
Oh.
You ever experienced that?
I've seen that. Just like vibrato breathing.
It's like, Dude, you all right?
That was a note I made that for comedy. I never, like, I have a wake apnea. I've caught myself snore while I've just been reading. He's reading something like, and we got it's just and like one of those comes in, you're like, that's come on, dude, open your lungs.
It was at the library, and the guy next to me was he had a wake apnea.
All right. Well, I think you don't think you're going to get the role of Colonel, which there's never a more ultimate freedom in the audition process than thinking you're not going to get it anyway. That means that's the ugly dude hitting on the hottest woman.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to work anyway. So what if I just go and see if this weird approach might work without, like, you know, be a dick or anything, but like, hey, fuck it. Nothing to lose, right?
Yeah. I've been on 75 commercial auditions. I've never booked a damn thing.
I never did with the commercials, but like voiceover stuff. Mm-hmm. I just send it in. Not as grueling of a process. People don't understand. Like, I get what complaining about commercial auditions in the plight of the strife of regular citizens in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a pretty dehumanizing. That's not gonna. I mean, nobody's gonna like that. You getting in the role?
Yeah.
Colonel wouldn't slurp. You got to start now. You got to start now, Dave. Colonel doesn't slurp.
Okay.
Colonel would be drinking that out of a nice goblet.
That's true. He'd be drinking a mint julep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So start getting your shit together because I want this, Dave.
My $5 fill-up box.
See? That okay. Regional dialects. Mm-hmm. That's what I asked you about.
Yeah.
Because there's Southern, but there's all kinds of Southern.
Oh, there's so many different types of Southern. That's what Hollywood does not understand. They just think Hollywood thinks all Southern accents are Clark Gable, Gone with the Wind, yeah. Rhett Butler.
It's either the lawyer
mm-hmm.
or Cletus from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Are there really other
ones? Oh, there. There's so many. Oh, yeah. Like, and I can't do them all, but like.
I don't get it because I don't have an accent like, or nothing. I'm from the Midwest, so we don't got no accents up there.
Yeah, but there's so many. But yeah, I assume the Colonel.
Like
I don't know
this. Norwegians that crashed into a sausage.
I don't know for a fact, but I assume the Colonel is from Kentucky.
Yeah.
Hence the name of his company.
You know what? We got the robots out here. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask.
Well, didn't we talk about that last week? About. Didn't we read an email?
Oh, somebody wrote that actual Colonel Sanders was so disgusted with the way Kentucky Fried Chicken was taking his recipe that he opened his own place. And yeah, he is. I forgot. I'm starting to.
Well, here's the other problem, Kyle.
You should have seen the way I just wrote Colonel.
Even if I got the role. Mm. Morally and ethically, I don't know if I could accept it.
You know what? Let's talk about your morals and ethics, Dave. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about.
I got chicken ethics. Seriously, I don't know that I could sell KFC because my heart's not in it because it's fucking horseshit.
Your heart's made out of it.
My heart ain't made out of KFC. I eat that shit once a year.
You're a Popeyes man.
I'm a Popeyes and a Bojangles man. And a Gus's and a Howlin' Race.
For Halloween, I'll dress up like actual Popeye. You dress up like the Colonel, and we'll just show up to a party separately and fight each other.
That's funny.
Or who needs Halloween? Let's just do that.
Popeye's chicken.
We'll show up at a church's acting like we're going to church.
That's funny.
Not in the house of the Lord.
Popeye's chicken. Is that in reference to the character Popeye?
Or is that really sending me to the Google searches here, Dave? Because
mm-hmm. right, there's no other Popeye related imagery at the restaurant.
Currently, you drive people around for $2 an hour with Lyft.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you think you could sell Popeye or KFC?
Because it's horse shit, and my heart's not in it.
Last episode, you talk about tacos that you found.
Uh huh.
I'm sorry to be hard on you, Dave, but I think this is an opportunity. And I understand you're trying to fucking have some. I understand there's integrity involved here. And I understand there's a lot of power in saying uh-huh. no to things in this uh-huh. town. But, Dave, sometimes you shit in a box behind Pep Boys.
Uh-huh.
And I really think that you can make this work. You can take. The way I view it is you can take money from an institution you don't believe in, mm-hmm. and then you could put it in somewhere else. You could take all your Popeye's money that uh-huh. you've gotten from them if uh-huh. you get the role.
KFC.
And or, yeah.
Well, that's what I was about to say.
And spend it elsewhere. That's what my whole attitude towards, like, I never did commercials with somebody like, oh, I would justify some things that I've done where I'm like, oh, I don't like where this money's coming from, but uh-huh. I know that the money that I'm getting paid
uh-huh.
will be funneled into a better
okay.
part of the economy.
Well, on the other hand, I would do Popeye's or a Bojangles commercial for free. Like, I would totally do that for free. But I don't know that even
you want to believe in the
product. Even given the opportunity and the paycheck, I don't know that I could accept a KFC role just because I hate it.
I mean, you're going to fuck yourself. What if they hear this and they're like, you know what, Dave? You crushed this audition.
Yeah, I got to be careful what I say on podcast and Twitter.
You're a public figure. You're a public figure, Dave.
As I've learned this week.
You know what?
Inside joke.
I want to hear, like, let's run the audition.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think of what. Okay, I'm going to give you lines to read as the Colonel.
Georgia Gold is their product.
I know you've been upset about that.
$5 fill-up box.
All right, Dave, I want you to look up the lyrics for the song. Are You Ready for the Sex Girls by the Gleaming Spires?
Is that on? That's the that featured in Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes, if anybody doesn't know, and I want you to read those as the Colonel.
Okay.
And this is your audition.
Okay. You hear that hunting and pecking? Dave knows how to dose the computer.
Oh, the letters are right on the buttons. Okay. That's easy.
They're not in order. They're not in alphabetical.
Did you look up the lyrics?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I got white suit. They're gonna do. We're gonna whiten your beard. Tie. We're gonna whiten your hair. This is the aristocracy, Southern aristocracy.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is. And I'll ask you questions that pertain to the lyrics so you can answer them in context. I'm not going to just leave you hanging here.
Are you ready for the sex girls? The hot, hot, lean, hot, big, hot girls. Are you ready for the sex girls? The rot, rot, ultra vital, nice, nice girls.
Colonel, can I interrupt for a second?
You go ahead.
Where would one? What would these sex girls? You're clearly a well-to-do Southern gentleman.
Why, yes.
Where would these girls? Where would I find them?
They play pool in your house. Take off their own clothes. They can talk about love. They know where it goes. They are women without any faults.
What? I mean. How would I, like, do I have to answer any questions myself if I wanted to commingle with these sex girls?
Well, one would have to ask themselves the question, are you ready for the pony girls? The ride, ride, fast, ride pony girls. Kyle, are you ready for the lonely girls?
Oh, those are the ones I'm most ready for.
The sad, sad, oh, sad lonely girls.
I didn't realize how dark this song was.
Yeah, it is weird.
What are some characteristics?
They've got time on their hands. They've got skin like seals.
That makes no sense.
They can talk about love. They know how it feels. They are women without any faults.
Well, that's actually what an appealing idea. What's mm-hmm. How can I expect the sex girls when this encounterance happens?
That's a good question, Kyle. The procedure is as follows: one comes over, then they all come over, then they party all around the house. One gets too romantic. One is kind of frantic. One stays quiet as a mouse. Bikinis gleaming in the morning light. You might lose your life. They go crazy in the bedroom, baby. And they might explode your mind.
I feel like this, if you don't get this role, this is where sometimes this town is just flat out unfair to the talented, deserved ones.
And I'll wrap it up here in a minute, Kyle.
There's more.
But before I leave, another question I might ask. What,
do you have any more questions for me?
I do. Kyle.
Yeah.
Are you ready for the sex girls? The fine, fine, super special real sex girls. Once again, are you ready for the best girls? The knees showing, big breast girls. Thank you.
Jesus Christ.
$5 fill-up box, two-piece dark biscuit coleslaw, and a Pepsi.
You just sold more KFC with this?
Uh-huh.
Then they should already be paying you.
Yeah.
Holy shit. That was debonair.
Thank you.
That was regal.
Uh-huh.
It was cordial.
Uh-huh.
It was warm and friendly.
That's what I was thinking.
If you go in there and say, listen, I know you have prepared dialogue. But can I just read
I took some liberties something? With the script.
Can I? Yeah, listen, I know you. Just listen to this.
Yeah. Yeah, son. Yeah, I would channel my grandfather. Yeah, my grandfather was a very foghorn leghorn. My grandfather was from South Georgia, and he fancied himself an aristocrat, even though he wasn't. He sold pine straw for a living.
But you can take on the accent. Like when smart people use big words, even though they're just shitty.
He said, son.
Right here, son. Oh, this... I feel mental credit goes to Lizzie Cooperman, previous comic of the week,
because
when I did see her last night, she said some joke like, "Who knows the song? Are you ready for the Sex Girls?" And I immediately was like, "Gleaming Spires, Revenge of the Nerds," because this song cheers me up no matter what happens.
The Omega Moose.
And it was part of a bit that she was doing, but that's why I was like, "This is perfect." Dave, if you don't think you're going to get the audition anyway, can you just bring this in there?
Sure. I got nothing to lose, literally. I have nothing. I own nothing.
I want to play it just a bit of the song for people if you're unfamiliar. Do you know the song?
Oh, of course. That was one of my favorite movies as a kid, Revenge of the Nerds.
You realize it was if you want to think about what's problematic now. That movie is terrible.
Of course. Oh, there's a rape scene.
Yeah.
There's a nonchalant rape scene.
Yeah, he straight up just dresses like a boyfriend.
Gotcha. And I raped you.
Yeah. It was like a wow.
Yeah.
Revenge of the Nerds.
Yeah.
There's ominous.
There's a booger. There's an ogre.
Booger was a bit of a role model.
Booger appeared in a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode.
Booger's been around a lot. Good actor.
Yeah, not long ago.
Ogre owns a strange bikini beach bar in Chicago.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I always liken, now I feel like towards nerds the way Ogre did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in charge.
Nerds!
Yeah.
Let's hear that song.
Well, there's a goddamn skip. I'm like Annie Oakley with these skip ad buttons.
I don't get the reference.
She was a...
Are you ready for the sex, girls?
We just... We're 18 minutes in. Fucking best episode ever.
Mm-hmm.
Saying it now.
Yep.
Well, this is supposed to be a Q&A, and the only cue was, Dave, could you please read the lyrics to Sex Girls as Colonel Sanders?
I'll sell you fucking chicken.
I'm saying, you go in there with your own monologue, even if it's not this.
Mm-hmm.
Go in there and be like, I'll read anything as the goddamn colonel.
Yeah, son.
Mm-hmm. Go in there dressed up like a different colonel. Go in there dressed up as an entirely different, just any sort of militaristic leader.
Y'all said I was a colonel. I'm going parents. Napoleon.
Man, I got ideas. I want to hear about that. We might have to record right after this. This is a two-part episode just on your audition. Sorry to break from form.
Yeah.
Of which we don't have anyway.
Uh-huh.
Okay, let's go to the phones.
Caller one, what's on your mind? Hi, Dave. I want to let Tammy know that I'm sorry and that I love her. I talked about that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Crying, loving, laughing.
Yeah, because I was talking about Art LeBeau and how he would have to do the cholo shout-outs. Says, little spooky to teardrop. He wants to dedicate all my love to you. He'll be out in 6 to 8. okay, I'm just going right to it. This is from MG underscore Gumbercules. Gumbercules. His name's Matt.
That sounds
made up. It says, what horror tale kept you guys awake at night when you were younger? That's a good one. Where did your interest start? Like, what was the scariest thing when you were a kid?
Unsolved Mysteries.
Ooh.
I would watch Unsolved Mysteries with my...
Real.
Real crime scared me. And, I was a big fan of Unsolved Mysteries and Robert Stack, and I didn't understand the concept when I was a young child.
You put your beer on the coaster instead of just touching the coaster and letting the beer sit on the table. Sorry to interrupt. I'm cohabitating. I know that's true. No, I'm not using a coaster.
Is this the same table?
Yeah, but no, I'm trying to be nice about it.
But you've added to it, correct?
Yeah. Look, I'm going to use my joke notebook as a coaster. Sorry, I just shit on your whole thing.
That's okay.
Robert Stack had an intensity to it.
Yes. His voice scared me. And yeah. As a young child, when I first started watching that show, I didn't understand the concept of reenactment. So I would tell my dad, when they would do the reenactment, I'm like, he's right there. Why don't they put the camera down and arrest him? That's the guy.
That's when I first started going to stand-up shows, which I realize was a hack joke now, but was one of the funniest jokes where someone's like, yeah, I got cast in one of the reenactments on Unsolved Mysteries. Now every time I try and go into 7-Eleven with a hoodie on, I get arrested. There's some version of like, yeah. Like,
oh, man. But yeah, true crime scared me, even as a child. And like... something
it could happen to you. A child was abducted. You're like, I'm 7. He was 7. I'm 7.
And I was also scared of not the dark, but I was scared of the night. Like if I was awake at like 2 or 3 in the morning, that would scare me.
I dig.
The concept of like.
This is when nefarious things.
Yes. Happen. And most of the rest of the world, I didn't understand time zones.
Yeah.
But most of the rest of the world is asleep. And yet here I am awake. So something could happen and no one would know it.
Yeah, well, the first time you found out it was daytime somewhere else, you're like, well, no, nothing makes sense.
Exactly.
The true stuff, I agree with, yeah, I would watch that, or what was the one that got me? I think, like, the first, wasn't a horror tale. I think first movie was a Creepshow. Oh man, Creepshow. You ever see Creepshow the movie?
I remember that movie, but I don't remember seeing it.
There were vignettes.
Oh, was it kind of like Tales from the Crypt?
Yeah.
Yes.
And it had like one of them had Leslie Nielsen, which you only knew as the airplane guy
playing or the Naked Gun guy.
Well, or Naked Gun. I think it was even before Naked Gun just came out.
So at that time.
So you only knew him from Airplane and oh god, who was Sam from Cheers?
Oh, Ted Danson.
Ted Danson. So it's all these actors that you know from everything where else it was comedy.
Uh-huh.
And it was Ted Danson was going to like, I forget the setup, but Leslie Nielsen buries him on the beach up to his neck with a TV monitor placed on the beach to like see his wife die or something. There was some setup where I'm like, but that's Funny Guy from Airplane and that's Sam from Cheers.
Yeah.
And so the tide came in. While he was there, watching Leslie Nielsen on the TV torment him, and he came back, and there was this like monster in a box, and it was vignettes too, so it wasn't so long where you'd lose interest or overthink something. It was like, nope, here's 20 minutes of something that's terrifying. You'd be like, well, fuck that, and here's the other one. Oh, god damn it! And it was like, so it's 4 of them in a movie. I think.
Wow.
So early on, I remember that one being something that really scared the shit out of me. But I'm trying to think of like a campfire tale or something. I mean, I've talked about Munger Road, like local. When it was local, when it was a place, they're like, oh, I've driven by that place. Or I've driven by that house. You know, that would always get me. But as far as tale, I think Creepshow the movie got me.
I used to, used to kind of meet some of my fears head on. I remember as a kid, 6, 7, 8 years old, I was supposed to be afraid of the dark. Mm-hmm. And we lived kind of in a rural area that had like a lot of woods and forest around us. And I can remember being young and just at night, not late, but like 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night, I would just walk out into the woods.
Oh, yeah.
Like 20, 30 feet deep into the wood line and just be like,
ooh, woods at night?
What do you got? Bring it on. I would be scared. I was frightened, but I was still like, I'm out here. I'm doing it.
Woods at night with a group of people was always that, like, the most entertaining kind of adrenaline.
Yeah, yeah. And then one time I did it, and I got chased by a wild boar.
Well, that's a real thing to be scared about.
I got chased by a wild boar when I was 11.
Are there any mellow boars?
No, they're all wild. They're all maniacs.
They're all out there.
They're crazy.
Living by no rules. Like, there's not one boar. Like, listen, I'm a CPA.
Got a savings account.
I'm doing everything by the book, and the rest of these ones, it's real fucking speciesist to call us all wild. All right? You're just generalizing based on a few bad apples. Speaking of apples, did you hear what happened to Tony? They got him.
I get it.
Because the apple?
Yeah, the apple in his mouth.
All right.
Well, yeah, it's good. Yeah,
maybe the comedy's not going to be that.
No, I liked it. It was good.
Okay, let's go to a food-related one.
Uh-huh.
Which do you two prefer, tacos, burritos, or nachos? I was always a burrito guy growing up, but that's because I wasn't really raised around authentic Mexican food. And now that in L.A., I understand. I still love a burrito.
Uh-huh.
But I, the idea of a taco, go ahead and give me one of these, give me one of these. And so you could have three of a variety.
Mm-hmm.
I would say tacos, but I mean, just a big dumb plate of nachos.
I like that too.
I can't answer this one. I got an affinity for all three in this trilogy here.
Here's how I separate them. I love a good taco. However, there's never, in regards to an authentic Mexican street style taco or an LA food truck taco, there's never a dairy component. No cheese, no sour cream.
They don't put any cotija?
No, not. You get a taco at a truck, there's no cheese, no sour cream. Where on a burrito, a lot of them will put cheese and sour cream or what they call crema.
Oh. That's what they mean.
Crema.
When they just change the two last letters of the word.
Uh-huh. So because of that, I will often opt for the burrito because I'd like a little sour cream, a little cheese. And they don't do that on the taco. So there you go.
I'm a real mambo number five guy with this. I get why they're all great and I appreciate them all. Now let's go back into the real reason we're here. And I'm sorry, that question was from Dusty Sheckles.
Did we set up that we're doing a Q&A?
I don't know.
I was too busy talking about like the Colonel.
Oh yeah, this is a Q&A episode.
Yeah, there's no topic.
Well, they figured it out.
I know they can connect the dots, but
That was from Dusty Sheckles at the Doctor 317.
That's not a real name.
No. I don't know.
Dusty Sheckles.
I mean, it's a good handle.
Come on.
Sam J. Hodge. Uh-huh. We're all just taking these on Twitter, so we didn't take this over to Facebook, but this is the most immediate way to get a question. Here's a good one. What conspiracy have you covered on the show that you're convinced is real?
So many of them.
Dave, it's all of them. For me, it's none of them. I would say... I definitely think there's extraterrestrials,
mm-hmm.
although I don't like the term because it just sounds like leftover terrestrials. It sounds like somebody made too many terrestrials, which is where we're at. What if extraterrestrials is really just another term for overpopulation, dog?
Ooh.
Fucking thanks, Sam J. Hodge. For letting my brain open to where it needs to be. There's a goddamn mute button on your computer.
Is there? Where? How?
On the top.
Where?
I'm really not as upset as I'm talking about.
But seriously, I want to correct that.
It's a speaker with no little things.
Oh.
See, that's,
and that'll that, keep the little...
That's no, that's nothing. This is little volume. That's big volume.
I didn't know. Okay.
They just got a computer.
Look at that. Did you know you can watch...
I didn't mean to, like... I'm not trying to belittle you there. That's I didn't care that made a sound. My phone went off in the middle of the last one.
I don't care what you say, so here we are.
Okay, well, all right. Why don't you talk about your conspiracy? Yeah. No, I think the alien ones are definitely...
Mm-hmm.
That is the one thing that I have faith in. I'm still... And one of the results of this podcast and reading more about stuff where we thought, well, we'll just bullshit about it. It'll be fun, but let's research a little bit. Like, every time we research it, it either veers off into this hard right-wing idea, like it's these fucking bunker dwellers, like, oh, yeah, government's going to fucking steal your DNA out of your piss. Government's going to steal your fucking jet rags and clone you and commit crimes and then just to convince you and they'll kill the clone. I'm like, all right, well, that one's out. But I think that aliens do exist, whether or not they've had contact with us or not. I don't know if I believe our human reports of alien interaction. But as when I started this, I believe they're real and they're out there. And if they are smarter than us, they have avoided us at all costs.
I will answer a better question.
Well, okay.
Question being, what did I not believe in that I now do believe in?
Ooh, okay, that's a good one.
And one that comes to mind, time travel. Before we did the time travel travel episode, I just thought Back to the Future, sci-fi, great concept, but no way. And then the more we got into that episode and that content, by the end of it, I was like, I think I kind of believe in time travel.
I wonder if there's I'm still not well versed on it. Like, I still feel like there's so many things that can go wrong with it that it would have to be done under this such a crazy regimented amount of security and secrecy that the human component of it would cause it to fail.
And that's a great point, because that is my one bone of contention, my one area of skepticism is the human component. But even beyond that, with that, the more we got into it, I was like,
maybe.
Whereas before it was like, absolutely not. And now it's like, maybe.
What if the idea, like, what if we're inventing time travel, but we're only sending technology? There's no human component to discuss or anything. Whatever, you know, the same way we're sending, I mean, I know it sounds dumb because I don't know what I'm talking about, but that's what this is about. But the same way we send a Mars rover up, we don't know how to get humans there yet, or maybe theoretically we do, but it's not going to work in actuality. But you send technology to go and take samples and come back. You send technology to go take pictures and come back. And then we sit there with that information going like, okay, we know what the future might look like. We know if humanity might exist in 500 years because we've invented time travel to that capability. We just can't send a life form through it.
Uh-huh.
We can send metal and glass and plastic through because we figured out how that will move forward.
That's a great theory, dude.
Hey, for us two dum-dums?
Uh-huh.
Makes sense.
Good job, Kyle.
I like that. But I like that. Okay, so time travel you've convinced of, and aliens is what I'm still...
Yeah, and I'm with you on aliens as well.
I'm still sitting with that. And the time travel, I just found too many loopholes, but I might have talked myself out of it now. If you guys owned a racehorse, what would you name it? I would name it Gluey Dog Food.
I was about to say something with glue. Elmas.
The last time I went to I've been to Santa Anita two times. The first time it was great. I'm like, horse racing's fun, and I'm gonna come here a lot because I won like $20, and this is exciting. And the second time I went, they had to kill two horses right on the racetrack, and I'll never go again. So that's it. If I owned a racehorse, I would say, "Don't bet on me. I'm super slow," and then people would leave it alone, and it could live a happy life. What did I? What happened?
Oh, what's the matter there? It's the button with the speaker with the no line through it, Kyle. You fucking turd.
Turd's such a good insult.
Look at his fucking turd.
I love turd.
Oh, I love turd.
Turd, because it's not a swear. It's like, like swears are more effective as adjectives instead of the noun.
Yes.
Like, instead of, like, look at this fuck, you'd be like, look at this fucking turd. Mm-hmm. And, like, so turd's more, and fucking's just because you swear a lot.
I love turd.
What would you name a racehorse?
Hung.
I'm not even going to make the joke. You know the joke.
There's a joke there.
You know the joke I was going to make about the racehorse. Ooh, dark web stuff. That's a Moshe Kasher thing. And the racehorse question was from Fondle Punch. Who is listening to us?
By the way, did you mention earlier that you're only pulling from Twitter? Did you put it out on Facebook as well?
Nope.
Okay, good. I was about to say, if you
Twitter
put it
exclusive.
If you put it out on Facebook, I feel obligated to
Twitter exclusive. Gotcha.
Okay.
Somebody tell us about where ghosts. Ooh, good one from Mollybongan. Mollybongan. It's got two dots over the eyes, like the Motley Crue thing.
Uh huh. Like Lowenbrow.
Yeah.
That's where they got that.
That's where Motley Crue got it. We saw two dots. We thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
Wow, Motley Crue tonight. These other bands, like, I'm still kind of rooting for you. Motley Crue. Ooh, put the rest. Mollybongan says, if you could have sex with any supernatural creature, which one would it be?
Huh.
Okay. Okay.
Mermaid. Yeah, girl.
Where?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
You're just going to titty fuck a mermaid? I don't see any fish puss down there.
You gotta.
That's what everybody just focuses, like, mermaids are sexy. You're not focusing on the other 50%, which is a giant fish. Like that's a, like, a mermaid, that's a shit deal. Like, 50% hot babe, 50% the most unfuckable thing ever. Like, it's not even a mammal. But, like, oh, fucking tits, I'm into them, put them on my boat, give me a tattoo. Because half of it, I like.
Oh,
what,
my God.
What a dumb thing to get horny about. What a stupid thing to have a fucking boner about. Oh, man. Like, what if it was, like the top half was a fish and the bottom was like a real nice ass? Would you still care? You'd be like, get that thing away from me. There's no way I'm fucking that. Even that would be, because that would be the more fuckable version, and that would be horrific. But, ooh, mermaids are sexy.
Well, I'm sorry I brought it up.
I had to choke that one down.
Oh, boy. Oh, we pushed
it's
button.
Faulty logic.
What am I supposed to say? A female Yeti? Big 800-pound furry beast. Oh, if I had a nickel.
Why does it eat? At what point does it matter if you're a straight person if it's already a make-believe character?
That's true.
Like,
yeah, why not experiment?
Yeah. Like, I just fucked the Loch Ness Monster.
Get a hold of a handsome chupacabra.
Yeah, see, I'm not, like, everything about a chupacabra seems gross.
Which one, the Texas one or the Puerto Rican one? There's two different chupacabras. We've yet to get into that as a topic.
I mean, I'm not fucking a Puerto Rican one. racist conspiracy theorist. I'm not fucking the Puerto Rican chupacabra, even though that's where the name came from.
Be paying child support.
Sing. Not going to get a job till it's 28. Got this goddamn half chupacabra kid. Fucking my fault for getting drunk in
Miami.
Oh,
my God. It's so stupid.
I don't know what... I think... I'm not going to lie. That mermaid... I might have to do that at the show tonight.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm very excited about it.
You got a show tonight?
Yeah.
Where at?
That's going to go to shit.
Yeah?
I'm at... I don't remember. I don't know. One of the UCB franchises, I think. No, nerd mail. It's not going to go well. Right. If we have sex, not make love, but sex with a supernatural creature. I mean, you know what? Like, vampires, like, that's the easy way out because they've already been portrayed as sexy in fiction.
True.
I think I would probably, you know what? Are werewolves ever chicks?
Oh, man. That's a great question. The same way, I don't know. I'm sure this is fairly common.
Like, if you bang a werewolf when it's a werewolf, but then it becomes a guy, are you gay?
Hmm. Like, I always...
There's no fucking way.
I'm sure this is common. I always associate dogs as male and cats as female.
Well, that's...
Is that stupid?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just wrong.
You don't do that, though? I mean, I know there's male and female of both, but in it, the first glance in my mind, a dog is a male and a cat's a female.
I can see how that happens. Mm-hmm. But so then that means that...
So I would never fuck no dog.
Is there a cat component of a werewolf? Is there a feline component of a werewolf?
Ooh, you may have just invented a new cryptozoological character.
I can never say cryptozoological correctly when I really want to in front of other people.
I'm surprised I pulled it off.
We both got it on that one. Anyway, if a werewolf could be a dame, I'd bang it, and Dave wants to fuck half a fish. Thanks, Molly Buggin. Is it better to take a brioche guavara? Is it better to take gout medication in pill form or crush and snort? Come on, man. Don't be a dipshit. Why did I even read that? Let me get a real one. Did a supernatural. Let's find a... Ooh, this is an interesting one. From Crashing Cosmoa at Vermin Skull. Can souls be bartered or sold? No, that delve... That straddles the religious / supernatural afterlife effect here.
Robert Johnson pulled it off.
I mean, that's always... I always try to make Robert Johnson jokes that don't go well. Like, oh, man, I...
Well, you got to stop using racial slurs. That's your first problem.
Is that where I'm going wrong?
Yeah. Hey, don't even bring that up.
You're the one who's about to be Colonel Sanders. All right? Don't even...
What do you mean you try to make Robert Johnson jokes? Like,
no, just about the idea of, like, man, I can't believe I still suck at guitar. And also, I'm going to go to hell.
Oh, Lord, for that you traded your everlasting soul.
I just love the idea of a guy who's just somebody that's shitty at guitar. Like, man, and I'm going to hell. This is a drag.
He got ripped off.
Well, the idea of a soul, the idea of an afterlife,
or
the idea that you have an inherent value now. That's worthy to a deity. I guess what's like a, I don't know, maybe it's a thing like a shitty car with a good engine, you know. But I tell you, I watched a documentary on Buick Grand Nationals that was actually fascinating.
No,
you know the Buick Grand National.
Didn't you used to have one? No, you had a Marquee.
A Grand Marquee. That was shitty 80s Grand Marquee, but I did it on a 1965 Mercury Comet. The story of the Buick Grand National was, I'm going to butcher it as we do with everything, but it was this amazing car. It was like a Monte Carlo, and I don't, the years that it existed, boom, or flub it.
Was it a sedan?
Mid 80s. No, it was a two-door.
Two-door?
It's like a two-door Monte Carlo. But, like, they were all blacked out, and it was, like, the people that still have them, they're obsessed about them. Because when they came out with it, it was American street cars, when muscle cars were not really happening much in the 80s, and it was faster off the line, or it was faster a quarter mile than a Corvette or a Porsche or something.
Really?
But the idea that – I'm trying to make a very shitty comparison. Like,
No, you're doing good.
When you didn't realize – like, my buddy bought a $300 Monte Carlo off some old lady. And, like – I didn't realize Monte Carlos were good. It was like a shitty, like, it was like cream color. He's like, yeah, it's got a V8. This thing fucking kicks ass. You have no idea. So you buy it because the insides of it are valuable. Nobody else realizes it. Is that what a human soul is like? Like, wait a minute, what's inside there? Like, oh, that has value to somebody that knows what's going on. So the interest, wow. So what I'm saying is the interest in having a soul, a particular soul, and also now my brain is also going to that Simpsons episode because the Simpsons have basically covered any concept my dumb brain can think about in the world. The Simpsons have covered it and explained it.
Yeah.
Can it be bartered or sold? I don't think I'm in a position. I think the deities are in a stockbroker-like position where they're licensed to do the bartering and selling. I don't think a mortal can handle that. What if that's it? What if when we die, it's just a stock market for our souls?
Well, what are they doing with the souls once they acquire them?
It's just the value is based on the desire. It's like Bitcoin or just any money, any currency in general.
Hmm.
The more you've accrued in life, the more valuable your soul is when you die.
Interesting.
So therefore, but why is that so? You go up and down with the stocks. Right now, technology is hot because technology is going to go. This guy's hot because what we like in souls right now are musicians, or what we like in souls right now are these, whatever the value system is in the afterlife. Ooh, I've got five virgins. Not the virgin's a dumb way, but like five souls that don't know sex or corruption. Maybe that's the most valuable one. That's why you have to never have sex to go to heaven. Heaven isn't heaven. Heaven's just a fucking stock market where fucking God is in charge of the NASDAQ. I'm the smartest man! Did any of what I said make sense?
Kinda. But the delivery is what sold it.
Yeah, well, welcome to my whole stand-up career.
Heaven is just the... Heaven's the boiler room.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
boiler room is just... That's purgatory.
Uh-huh.
They're creating fake value.
Okay. Wow. Good job, Kyle.
I'm pretty happy with what came out of me right there.
That's pretty good there, buddy.
You got any take on it?
No.
Okay, then. Well, we'll move on. Marissa Elena Rivas asked, do you guys believe in fortune telling, like tarot cards or palm readings? Dave?
Traditionally, I have never put any stock into that concept. Mm-hmm. But did I tell you the story about when I was hanging out with my my friend Shauna Tucker a few months ago? And she did some sort of tarot card thing.
You were talking about it. I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or not.
I'm not opposed to it, but I just never bought into fortune telling or any of that.
Yeah. I wasn't around it growing up.
I was hanging out with my buddy, former bass player of the Drive-By Truckers, Shauna Tucker, a few months ago. And she's kind of into that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we were hanging out. Ryan Singer was there. Of course, if Ryan's involved, you know there's going to be some tarot cards somewhere. And we were having a few drinks and everybody was just feeling good and having fun. She's like, all right, just drop all your preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. Just be open-minded and let's mess with these tarot cards. And I was like, okay. And she did the whole rigmarole and I had to come up with – I forgot exactly how it worked, but she made me ask three questions to myself and answer them without telling her. And then she did all the cards, and then she knew the questions that I had asked myself. And it blew my mind. I thought that she and Ryan were doing some prank or some joke. Yeah. And I'm like, no, wait. And she was like, what, did I get them right? And I was like, yeah, you did.
That – I always feel like it's like some sort of process of elimination when it's with a psychic or something, mm-hmm. or they can just detect.
General, vague
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, but Rachel was messing around, and Rachel's a solid woman who doesn't, like, she's like, I'm getting into this, and I know it's kind of silly, but I'm going to do it. I'm like, well, Dave and I talk about ghosts every week, so yes, absolutely. I'm not going to judge you for getting into that. But she was explaining something, you know, one thing she went through with him, and how it was kind of dictating her entire week, and one card would keep coming up that was symbolic. I'm not going into specifics, but in the way she's explaining it, I was like, oh yeah, that's not just circumstantial.
Yeah.
And this, and I always want to preface something when I know it's a bit I'm working on or not, because I never want to seem like I'm slipping bits.
Yeah.
Because we're frank with each other. But it's like a bit that I like the bit. It doesn't work well, but I do think it's like the truth behind it. Like, psychics always have good real estate.
What do you mean? Like, they're
going to any city, going to any neighbor, like hip, awesome neighborhood, and there's still some psychic that's been there forever. And how come they're never bought out? How come they never get bought out through gentrification or development, that their rickety fucking rundown house with the neon sign with the hand is still there? Like, I might not believe anything about it, but they know something. They either know where to buy property decades in advance, or when the developers coming in and be like, yeah, we're going to buy out your land. They just all of a sudden fucking show them the crystal ball, and here's what happens to you if you want to take us over. And the developer's like, you know what? You can stay. You can stay here. You look at any like major downtown area where you would think, like, and I don't know if it's just that it's, the family has been in there for years, but how much does a psychic reading cost that can keep up with rent? Like, is it just that they hold fast in the
I always
location?
Think, how do they stay in business?
Exactly. Maybe because they're psychic.
Wow.
And they know that eventually someone's going to offer them such an exorbitant amount of money for that place. Like, all right, fine, you can buy our magic spot. Eh?
Dude.
That's my theory. That's my truth to it. Having not gone to a psychic, I still think they know something. They predicted something about where they set up.
Wow. That's a great theory, dude. I've never thought of that.
Or maybe it's just like a fucking Subway sandwich shop where they popped up everywhere in the 60s when it was cheap, and now, Subway came up in the 80s, but whatever. So that's Marissa Elena Rivas. My take is I haven't no firsthand experience, but I give them credit for something, and you have had firsthand experience?
Yes.
So.
As a skeptic. As someone who went into it thinking this is a bunch of baloney.
Yeah.
And I was impressed.
We already answered a quiz, guys. MG Gumbercules is good questions, but we got to take some other ones. Medium rare eggs is a thing. What's Kyle's favorite color? It's blue. There you go. Ooh, okay. Scott E. Hunter, DJ Skizzle on Twitter. If you could get rid of one professional sport, which would it be and why?
Huh. Get rid of. I mean, there are sports I don't care for or have any interest in, but I don't.
But what would you eliminate? You're a sports guy.
I mean, golf bores the shit out of me. I get why people enjoy playing it. You know, you're outdoors, you're walking around. But to sit and watch golf.
But it's not like. This isn't a good question.
Yeah.
I feel like the sport exists because enough people like it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a sports guy.
Okay.
Jacob Mancheski at Shin Pain. Is it practical to do only a 2-inch lift on a 2008 Tacoma if I want to clear 33s? I'm doing 35s right now, and I got a 2.5-inch lift, and I am rubbing my rear fenders. So I don't know what your clearance is on the fenders. And also on the Tacoma, you're not doing aftermarket stuff with fenders. You're stuck with your body shape. So you might want to do a 2.5-inch to 3. You know what? I'm not technically proficient enough to answer this question. It's a good technical question, but I'm saying I'm running at 35 on a 2.5, and I'm still bumping my fenders, but it's a Jeep, so it's made to replace.
I used to have a Tacoma.
Yeah?
I had a 98 Toyota Tacoma.
Solid truck.
Pre-runner. Extended cab. I loved it.
Oh, solid truck. So, yep. So I was wheeling with my buddy Chris. Two-wheel drive. Still taking some hills. Mm-hmm. Some struggle. We had to strap up a couple times. This is Janik on Twitter. Who would win in a fight, Sasquatch or a Skinwalker?
Yeah, they're playing by different sets of rules.
I don't think Sasquatch is a fighter.
You don't think so?
Yeah.
He's powerful.
No, but I think Sasquatch peaceful. is always a peaceful beast.
True. True.
But going back to the what would you fuck, now I realize it. Skinwalker. I would fuck a Skinwalker. But I think it would be going the other direction. I think a Skinwalker would fuck me because it would want to. Anyway, how about an episode on the Bridgewater Triangle? Didn't we talk about that?
We did. We did do that.
All right. Also, is a hot dog a sandwich? No.
Oh, it's own thing.
Do you think a hot dog is a sandwich?
I never think of it as a sandwich. Same way
hot
I never
dog is a hot dog.
Same way I never think of a hamburger as a sandwich. Technically, it's a sandwich, yes. But when McDonald's is like the new blah 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 hamburger sandwich, you're fuck off. It's a hamburger. It's its own thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it. Let it live on
mm-hmm.
its own.
Mm-hmm.
You know. What is a lobster roll a sandwich? Because same thing, it's a seafood hot dog.
That's true.
Dave Corbett, if you two fought, who would win? It would be you. We've done this.
We've done this more than once.
We did this in Hawaii when you said you didn't feel pain, and you fought too. You fought me and Ryan Singer.
Yeah, and I threw.
We both lost. And we ended up with a hotel mattress on top of us.
And a table. I threw a table.
And a table. Yeah, that's easy.
I threw the mattress on top of you, and knowing that that would protect you, and then I started throwing furniture on top of that.
Yeah, you're a real motherfucker.
The symbolism.
Somebody else suggested, Ryan Parfit suggested the Oak Island mystery a while back, but we never covered it. All right, man, we'll give us time. It's not a fucking quest. Come on, man. All right, okay. Here's a good one from Joss B. Slurpee Nozzle. Hey, whatever. Dave, what's the worst thing you have ever eaten?
Oh, my God.
That's a good question. You praise a lot, but you're never very negative about food.
It happened this week.
Really?
I forgot to bring it up. It happened.
Here we go.
This week. What are the odds that somebody would ask me this? A lady friend of mine was trying to be sweet, and she bought me she's like, just come over, and I'll pick us up some dinner. And I said, oh, okay. And I got there, and she was like, I got you your favorite thing. Oh. And I go, okay, well, what'd you get? And she goes, I got you a whiskey barbecue sandwich. I'm like, well, whoever that.
Let me try and think of where this came from, because I just saw it on a menu.
Near your old place.
Near my old place? Is it vegan?
Yep.
From the 365? The Chloe?
Yes.
The restaurant next?
Yes.
She's trying to make you healthy.
Exact. No, she wasn't. She thought she didn't know it was vegan.
Oh, it's and jackfruit. She went, yeah.
And on the title of the sandwich, the name of the sandwich was whiskey barbecue. And yeah. She goes, "Well, yeah. Dave will love this." She didn't read the description.
Oh,
it was. I still don't know how to pronounce it. Seitan.
Seitan. Yeah.
Seitan. Mushrooms.
Oh, it was even like the shredded jackfruit or nothing.
It was seitan, mushrooms, orange marmalade, sautéed kale, and a pineapple ring.
Oh, Dave.
On a bun. And it was the worst thing I have ever eaten. I have never been so disappointed. And to her, in her defense, she was like, "I'm so sorry. I saw whiskey barbecue."
She was just thinking.
And I was like, "Well, first of all, we've had this talk before. Don't ever buy anything barbecue that's not at a barbecue place. Anytime the word barbecue is brought up,
put some sauce up."
Exactly. I said, "Look, lady, did you see any smoke coming out of the building? We've been over this." And it was the biggest pile of horse shit literally. That's so ironic that this guy just asked this, because I thought in the moment, I was like, this may be the worst thing I've ever eaten.
I bought that on purpose, and I was like, well, this isn't good. And that was just knowing what it was made of, and I was like, they got better versions of this fake thing.
They got some balls calling that whiskey barbecue sandwich. But yeah, I think that's it.
That's the worst thing. But it caught you off guard. What's the worst thing you've eaten that you had expectations for? Like, you were like, oh, that looks like it's going to be good, and then you've eaten it. Although you did cover that bowl that you ate the other week.
That probably
what you're gonna have to sell the fuck out of tomorrow. Dave, don't let me down. Read the lyrics to Sex Girls.
What if I'm the next Colonel?
That would be great. I think it would be fucking amazing.
I felt guilty when I did receive the email, because it's like, this is Kyle's thing. Kyle said he wants to be the next Colonel.
I just told him I'd sell their fucking chicken.
I know, but
out loud online.
You're a lot more famous than me, and they hire famous people. I was like, well, this should be Kyle's gig.
Yeah, I'm famous.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. I'm not gonna sell their shit. Just talk about scratching my asshole online.
You're just as famous as Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, I don't know how to feel about that statement.
I mean, he's the new guy, right? Vincent D'Onofrio?
The new guy?
The new colonel.
Is he?
Yeah. He's the one that did the Georgia Gold campaign. He was the colonel that was spray painted gold. That was
really?
That was Vincent D'Onofrio.
The fucking guy who blew his brains out in Full Metal Jacket.
Yes.
mm-hmm. is the new Colonel.
Yeah, Private Pile.
Well, that came full circle.
Yeah, 200 pounds of chew bubble gum.
That came full circle. Blew my brains out to get out of the Army last time. Now
I'm a Colonel.
Now I made it all the way to the top. I'm a gold-plated Colonel. Now, I want you to just go in there and go full fucking character with this.
Yeah.
Like, do the kind of shit where you hear about weird stories about what's-her-name trying to be Catwoman in the 80s, like, showed up in costume at the director's house.
Who was that?
Oh, it was the actress that played the police chief in Ace Ventura. Woman, and she was like, apparently nuttier than shit. And she wanted to be Catwoman, like she showed up to the director's house dressed as Catwoman, like, I'm this role. I need you to do that, Dave.
Didn't T.J. Miller show up to his Yogi Bear audition in a bear outfit?
That's believable, yeah. But from a different, like, from him being like, please, I'm giving you every reason not to give me this role. That's what you need to do.
Yeah.
More T.J. Miller,
mm-hmm.
less, I got to find her name because it's...
I don't remember her.
It's a man's name. It's a man's name, but I remember it. God damn it. Sean Young.
Doesn't ring a bell.
Lois Einhart.
Hmm.
Anyway.
Oh, to answer that last question, though, a meal that I was counting on that sucked, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or throw shade, and I've already done that on this podcast with this exact example.
Yeah.
But it was a particular... celebrity chef in South Carolina.
Oh.
Barbecue place.
Ooh, celebrity barbecue chef South. What city, Dave? What city? Let's narrow it down.
Hemingway, South Carolina.
Hemingway. Okay, so we can figure it out if we want to. The
barbecue
real,
folks will know.
The real gold digger.
And I like the guy. I like him when he appears on all these barbecue places.
But he fucked himself.
But it was.
Paths with old Dave Stone.
I drove 3 hours round trip off route. Just to eat at this place. Me and James Austin Johnson went and ate at this place. And I was so disappointed. It sucked. And I'd already talked about this, but, you know, to answer your question.
Just a whole bunch of nothing. I'm going to answer one directed at me. Jake Pfab, P-F-A-B. I don't know if that's a real name, but that's his name. This isn't a question. It says, Kyle, you give me hope I can ride BMX again as a dude in his 30s. I'm just going to call out a guy that I follow on Instagram, who has no idea I follow him. I think he's in his 40s, and it's just Time Drifter BMX. And he's just a dude in his 40s who just kind of does basic tricks. I'm just watching kind of like a dude shaped like us in his 40s, and he just does like 180 bunny hops. But he keeps putting it up there, and I keep looking at it, and I look at it as this example of somebody who's like, yeah, it was like a kid's thing or whatever, but I'm still doing this. It's my daughter videotaping me, thanks to her. And he gives little shout outs. And it just seems like a guy who's just like, nope, I'm going to do a thing that I like in the world.
Good.
And I don't care. I'm so nervous to go to a skate park or be around anybody that's a teenager or something.
Really?
Yeah. Like, I'm mountain biking by myself in the hills.
Uh-huh.
But to take my bike to a skate park or that, I'm like, I've done it once or twice, but I'm just like nervous to be around kids. And you just see this dude, just huskier dude in his 40s, just popping off curbs, practicing like basic tricks and fucking them up. And he puts it up there, and I find it very inspirational. It's Time Drifter BMX on Instagram.
Good for him.
I hope he doesn't feel bad. I don't know who it is, and I don't know how I found it. But yeah, man, follow that guy on Instagram, and it's very inspirational. He's older than you are. And he just said, and then this guy, Jake Pfab, said, you guys need to check out Centralia, PA. It's a ghost town. Number three is just, Dave, you rock. So you got that.
Thanks,
None
Jake.
None of these questions, just nice compliments.
Oh, man.
Thanks, Jake Pfab.
I do rock.
I mean, give that. Oh, here's one from Lizard Boy, FlipPib55.
Dave, you suck.
No. Does Dave change his eating habits because of tooting in the van? I can answer that. It's no. He just wonders about how to install a vent in the top of his... Previa. No, you have a Sienna.
Sienna.
All right. Well, let's take a couple more. What do you want? Food? Food or what? Food or supernatural?
Let's do one of each.
Okay. Let's do. I'm going to do three.
Okay.
First one is not food or supernatural. It says favorite comedian of all time. This is from Tyler, which is Lepid Laurel at Lepid Laurel. Favorite comedian of all time. That's a good. That's a hard one because I categorize it like music.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Desert Island Comedian.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is awkward because you're one of my favorite comedians, Kyle.
One of. But Dave.
Yeah. Oh. I'm a fan, buddy.
Oh, man.
All right. I know that's awkward.
Well, what if I... What?
If all right. Other than
mine's
Kyle.
Mine's Mitch Hedberg. He's so great. He really boiled down comedy.
If right... Well, see, the thing is it changes.
Well, Dave, thank you.
You know, no, you're one of my favorite comics, buddy. I feel like I know your material more than you know it. There's been times
that
where like you've...
said for most...
Where you've quoted one of your jokes and I've corrected you. Like, actually, it goes blah, 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 blah. And you're like,
I can change the lyrics if I want.
No, put it this way. I think I know your material more than I know any other comics material.
I jumped into the glopping and the bucking bit. I don't know if that was this episode or the one before, but.
Mine changes, like, from year to year, you know. But I think in the last few years, I think I'd have to go with Bill Burr. I think Bill Burr just does. Like, he's doing with stand-up what I think is, like, that's the best you can do with something.
Well, and it's always the – it's when you see somebody moving forward. It's not just the jokes, mm-hmm. but it's the progression that you watch someone take. Like, that's why, like, Richard Pryor's always cited. It's not just that it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
It's that it was the commentary on his life as it was going along. You don't want to see somebody stunted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Larry the Cable Guy, like, that's a shitty punching bag to take, but it's also a character. Like, he mm-hmm. might have actually been somewhat like that guy mm-hmm. early on.
But who would know?
And now he's a billionaire or millionaire, whatever. However, and so now it's just a Saturday Night Live character. Now it's just Church Lady that's on tour. And it's when you see somebody that, I mean, like, as much as I love Jim Gaffigan and he's great, like, there's no insight into it. It's, oh boy, food's weird, and he's great at what he does with that.
Exactly.
But there's definitely more of an inherent interest to see someone progress. I think that is why more comedians become political or mm-hmm. outwardly observant,
mm-hmm.
because once they realize that their life is happy and okay, there's nothing else to mine from that. So mm-hmm. that's when they start looking outward mm-hmm. at the world around them and start picking that apart as opposed to going inward.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's hard to pick apart things going well. When it's turmoil, you can tear it apart.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Pryor set his fucking face apart. Or if you have a kid, like, yeah, then you can dissect that because mm-hmm. You finally had a new experience come into your life
mm-hmm.
that wasn't, I'm a moderately successful comedian that can mm-hmm. pay his bills, and I go to the airport, and airplanes are crazy, and mm-hmm. this and that. Oh, kid, that's brand new. Finally, something's stirring something up in your brain that's different,
mm-hmm.
you know, than what you've been going through normally. So,
I get asked this question a lot, though, like in person, like, you know, when I'm on tour and stuff, like, who do you like, or if I'm doing a newspaper interview or something. And there's a few, like, obvious big ones, like Burr. But honestly, if I'm being sincere, like, my favorite comics are a handful of dudes that I know. You, just off the top of my head, my short list is like you, Rory, Sean Patton, James Adomian. Those four come to mind. Like, guys that I'm just dickhead buddies with, like, these are some of my favorite dudes. I would pay money to watch my friends perform comedy.
Yeah. You know? I mean, as far as just being in LA, like, I was talking about the show that I bombed on Friday night was Todd Glass, Deb DiGiovanni,
jeez.
Nick Turner. Like, that lineup, like, you were the one saying, like, it's a festival lineup.
Those
anywhere
are
else.
Killers.
And this is just a show on a Friday night now.
Mm-hmm.
Just from the comedy I get to see here, like, Sam Jay and Deb DiGiovanni, I think, are the best comics working in L.A.
Yeah, Deb's great.
Which,
Sam's great.
Just being the refining process of what else is out there, like that's the best comedy. And I know because every show that, like, I book out, I'm like, oh, who's playing tonight? It's them.
Yeah.
So not only are they highly requested in town,
yeah,
they're busting their asses.
Yeah.
They're saying yes to every show, no matter what it is, no matter what, whatever lineup, wherever the fuck. I'm like, oh, wait, there's a show out in, like, you know, La Crescenta. Oh, there's a show out in Santa Clarita by Six Flags. Who's on that? The Giovanni, Sam J. It's like, it's always people like, oh, you're saying yes and you're busting your ass. So that's a lesson to any comic out there. Like, you're not better than any fucking show.
Yeah.
You're never better than any show.
Yeah.
That being said, I don't go to Santa Monica.
Well, on that,
please don't ask me to go to Santa Monica.
On that point, I don't know, especially when I don't go to them as much anymore, but when I first moved to town 5-6 years ago, I don't know how many open mics I went to where Maria Bamford's there.
Mm-hmm.
Maria Bamford. Even 5-6 years ago, very established comedian.
Yeah.
You could argue famous comedian. It's a shitty open mic in front of 13 other comedians. There's Maria Bamford with her notebook.
There is no – if you're a comic, they're like – I saw a friend I hadn't seen in a while. I go, how often are you going up? He's complaining. I was like, oh, like once a month.
Ugh.
Well, that's your fault, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, you're waiting for people to call you in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
You're waiting for people to call you. Move home, dude.
Yeah.
That's not how it works.
No.
You go out and you get work.
Yeah.
You go every night. That's when I moved here. Like every night, if I was sitting around bummed out, like at least be bummed out. Because you waited forever at an open mic and then you suck shit in front of five people. That's still a better bum out than knowing you didn't do anything.
You didn't try.
You didn't try.
Yeah.
Ooh. So, Dave's favorite comedian is me. Which really puts me on the spot. So I named a dead guy.
But no, I mean, that's one of those questions. It's hard to answer, though. No, but seriously, like, it's hard to narrow it down. But
that's how we met. You were opening for me at the go-kart track out in fucking Alpharetta.
And I requested that gig.
Did I? Yeah. And, okay, let's also go back to how you crushed every show and I bombed all weekend.
Well,
I rode go-karts drunk. You went back to Atlanta, and I just rode the go-karts drunk, slow. Like, you ever drive a go-kart slow just because you're sad? Like, this fucking high-speed race car track with full-face helmets and fireproof suits, and I was just all the way in the outer lane just going, just taking my time, thinking about what I did with my life.
That's so funny because that was supposed to be a celebratory thing. The club was in the same complex as this big family fun center.
Yeah,
they had to go
ride go karts,
and all the comics got to ride go karts for free. And after every show, we'd all go ride go karts, and it's supposed to be a fun. Yeah. Hey, let's blow off steam. The show's over.
Nope.
But there's Kyle being like, "Whoa,
bum the fuck out, just taking slow corners."
But then
it was my first headlining weekend after I quit my day job.
I remember that.
I ate shit all weekend.
You didn't eat shit all weekend. You had some good sets. That was one of the most like middle America type clubs that like anything. And this is I'm incriminating myself by doing well at that club, but
you could read the room. Like it was one of those things I could tell you're a good comic, but you're like, oh, this is what is going to get you guys. Here you go.
Yeah.
And you fucking crushed it. And there were still your bits. None of it was pandering. It was still awesome bits.
Yeah. I'm pretty good.
You did the radio DJ bit.
Oh yeah, that's some old shit.
Radio DJ.
Yeah, that's old school shit.
Let's do a food one, a supernatural one.
All right.
What a bonus! This is a bonus episode.
It's a fun one.
Not that it came out twice, just because it's so good.
I love these Q&As.
What are the best ingredients to put in an omelet?
Ooh, that's a good question. Without thinking about it off the top of my head, you got to have some onions. And also some green onions. I love green onions in an omelet. So white onion, regular white onion, green onion. And then beyond that,
Before I'll say it again, I eat onions like a Dust Bowl orphan.
You do. Love them. You love onions. But something about the green onion in an omelet, because you can dice them up real fine and just throw a whole fistful in there. And just.
Uh-huh.
But not only is the flavor, but it adds that color and the texture.
Yeah.
I like that.
I never realized the importance of like seeing a different color.
Yes.
Like I love
color's important.
But it looks like just somebody stepped on your food.
Color's important with food. Onions and then, as far as like meat, like – I don't know. I'll fry up some bacon, dice that shit up real fine, throw it in there. Onions, bacon, cheese, obviously.
I love the real, just a basic like ham and American cheese.
Yes.
Like it's so basic, but man.
No, that's good. Speaking of American cheese, I feel like in the culinary world, American cheese gets poo-pooed. Like, ugh, that's real basic.
Yeah.
But like in an omelet or a hamburger, if I'm doing a cheeseburger – give me some basic-ass American cheese. It just does well with the beef.
Is Velveeta American cheese, or is that like just its own thing?
Both. Like, it's its own thing, but they're trying to be. Like, if you had to categorize it into a flavor of cheese, it would be American.
Like, you don't get a wheel of American cheese. Like, does it only come in slices? Is that the only way you can make American cheese?
It's a great question. I mean, where do the slices come from? You know?
They're poured into the little packages.
No. No.
They don't slice it and then package it. Look at it. Like, it melts out into the seals of the
No, stuff. But you can get American cheese at the deli, and they got a big block of it, and they slice it off. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, you can get American cheese sliced at the deli.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, you can.
I've never been like, if it's American cheese, I'm getting it wrapped.
No,
I'm meticulous.
I think it's prepared the same way as any cheese, but, you know.
It seems like it seems like it's manufactured, not made. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but I think it
comes out of a metal tube and just slowly poured into each plastic envelope that is then folded over during an assembly line.
No, that's not how it's a manufactured flavor, but the process I think is similar to any other cheese.
I want to keep adding questions. Say what did you just say?
I said it's a manufactured flavor. But the process is the same as any other cheese.
That answers this next question. Hey, Dave, what's the sexiest thing you've ever said to a woman? Thank you. Thank you, John Michael Berg, for setting that joke up perfectly. Oh, man. All right. Let's close it on this one. Because this is... Oh, man. You guys are getting a lot. You guys, no, I mean, I'm talking to the fans right now. Lucky you. This is from St. Brian, but B-R-I-O-N. This is a supernatural one. Is demonic possession real or psychological?
Hmm.
Now, this is another one that straddles, you know, current science and logic. And also tests what you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of things can be mistaken for demonic possession, mm-hmm. It's like autism or spad, like thing, a lot of mental illness can be taken. But when people straight up talk in tongues.
Yeah.
And there's, I wish I had offhand knowledge of that's definitely a language that person has no way of knowing.
Man, that's a whole nother topic there. People speaking in tongues. I've witnessed that growing up in a Baptist church. And I've always thought,
yeah.
Are they really – is the spirit got a hold of them, or are they just bullshitting?
Or is it a malicious form of meditation?
Hmm. Like an aggressive form of meditation?
Yeah, like where you normally meditate to find peace, but what if you meditate to find some sort of other intention?
Yeah.
Like that could explain like – voodoo, witch doctors, where it's malicious. You're still, like they say, like the dancing and chanting, it increases blood flow and oxygen flow and can get you to a state of euphoria. You know, that's why they say, like, so many people see, like, all worked up.
Uh-huh.
Because they're euphoric from all this. It seems like possession, but it's just this euphoria.
Yeah.
I would lean towards psychological, but...
What was the other option? Psychological or
real?
Physical, real? Okay.
But what if we are just what if it goes back to that way that souls are possessed in this net? What if the way somebody you give over your password to your computer and then someone from a remote location is now operating it to repair it?
Well, I mean, the same way that someone on PCP could be possessed by the drug. You know, people on intense drugs sometimes are behaving and acting in a way outside of their control. Could the same be said for something like this? You know, maybe they're on some spiritual drug at the moment and they can't control their words or their physicality.
Hmm. I want to believe the real part of it, just for the mystery. But you know what? Like it's also like when you read the cases about it, is it the Catholic Church reporting back? Because then, therefore, they're justifying their exorcism. You know, it's kind of like, well, good thing we came in and fixed this problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, It's like an electrician coming in, like, good thing you called me because I'm the only one who could have fixed this. And
yeah.
It just turned out that the fucking wires were loose, and if you knew anything, you could have gone in. There's, you know, a regular doctor could have been like, hey, it's autism. We just help them through therapy or medicine,
mm-hmm.
you know. But you don't go that route. Like, when you see somebody freaking out that way, if you're of a religious base, you're like, well, it's the devil, so we went to the church to fix it. As opposed to seeing somebody freaking out, you're like, well, that's clearly a medical or psychological issue, so we went to seek, you know, professional medical help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I'm split on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a lot of experience with exorcism.
Or maybe just not demonic, but like, it also define a demon in that sentence.
True.
Is mental illness, is certain the root of certain mental illness, a malicious entity in the world? Boy, I don't know. Should we do a cleaner question to wash it out with?
Might as well.
A little heavy?
Might as well.
Is there even a slight chance of a Boogie Monster tour? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
General question, have we just discussed John Titor? Wasn't that a time travel guy?
Yeah, that's a time travel guy that showed up on the internet.
We'll probably revisit that.
As he was on some message boards saying that he was from the future. And to my knowledge, there was no evidence to back up his claim. Like, I don't think that he made any prophetic claims as far as, you know, proving that he was from the future, having any knowledge or information that we would deem as evidence. I could be wrong, but I know that I did research him when we were doing the time travel episode, and I was so unimpressed by the evidence that I found that I didn't even bring him up.
All right. Well, yeah, that was, yeah. Okay. Well, this one, okay. Now this one, this might loop this back into some shit right here. Why does everything seem quieter? What if this whole... Oh, no, there it goes. I just had to yell a little.
Were you about to say, what if this whole episode wasn't recorded?
Yeah. I thought we had this settings. I didn't dick with anything. All right. Kyle Foster. Says, and this goes back to what we were discussing in the beginning of this, which is weird. It says, time travel. What if they don't go back in time to give tech so they have it.
To give tech?
Technology.
Uh-huh.
But give them technology so their time is more advanced than before.
I don't understand.
Well, the way I'm interpreting it well, it's kind of one and the same, but like, what if, like I was saying, instead of sending people, you send technology.
Mm-hmm.
You don't...
you send it to the future?
Which is much like the film My Science Project with Dennis Hopper.
Never seen that one.
It was it got lost in the 80s, but I did think it was a quality sci-fi film. Like, what if we invented time travel and we just, for lack of a better way to explain it, it's a box. And so in that box, you just put an iPhone in that box, send it back 50 years, and let somebody sort it out.
Okay. As opposed to putting a person in the box.
Yeah. Or I mean, you go back in time. Yeah, so that way they're like, there's no, like, you don't know the intention of it. You have nobody explain. You have no human influence
presented without comment.
Yeah, exactly. Here you go. Figure this out, and then you get your top scientists to deconstruct it. That could play into the alien idea, like, of here's this, like, purposeful crashes.
Mm-hmm.
Here, reverse engineer that. Reverse engineer our propulsionary tactics. You sort it out. We're not going to tell you. We're not going to tell you why or how, but here it is. And if you can figure out why, then maybe that's a clue as to why you should be around longer.
Hmm.
You know?
That's interesting.
Almost like, it's like developmental learning toys for when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
figure out that the square peg goes in the square hole and a round one goes in the round hole.
Yeah.
Give that to them to learn. That's what time travel is used for, to fucking move along. I still think there's a whole overlap fucking folding of the...
But once you master that simple concept, having that knowledge, what can that...
Or maybe that knowledge catapult will lead into. You to move forward. But I still don't understand why you would time travel. If you're already in that point, you made it that far. It means everything before you did what it needed to do to get you there. If you believe that like life is serendipitously circumstantial. You know, that there's no purpose to whatever's happening. It's all like chaos that leads to that. Why would you go fuck with that? I still don't understand why you go back in time. I don't know. I tired myself out on that one. I don't know. Somebody said, somebody said John Titor needs a whole episode. I think we did it. I think we did. I think we did a good one.
Yeah.
Mariah Mackey says, after all is said and done, what is what you hope will happen after you die?
That's a great question.
I hope it... I think it all erases. I think it's the same thing as before you were born.
What I hope and what I think might be two different things.
Yeah, I think, but I also hope that too. I think your morality leads to an appreciation of your time here, so that's why you should be a good person. But I also think you shouldn't be as scared of as many things as you are scared of. And if you have any sort of privilege, realize that and use it. That's what I'll say.
Yeah. I think that is correct. I think that's what will happen. What I hope, I would like to hope that, like, the principles of Christianity are true, and I go to a heaven. I go to a place that's just filled with peace and joy and luxury and leisure. That would be nice. Just go up someplace and hang out and eat barbecue ribs all day.
But that's my problem with that place is if that's every day, how does that stay good?
Yeah, it's not special. If it's
like
the norm.
Idea of heaven seems like a faulty concept.
Yeah. Therein lies.
Here's everything you wanted again. Why wouldn't you just become a lost soul? They're like, I'm going to go see what hell's got going on.
Yeah, one of the many holes.
How many days
concept.
In a row could you eat the best barbecue ribs till they're not the best barbecue ribs?
Yeah.
And until they're just like, oh, I guess I'm happy I got food.
This again?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But maybe the idea is that heaven is variety.
That too.
Heaven's just that buffet in the sky, buddy.
The big buffet in the sky. I'll see that I could deal with.
The big buffet in the sky. I think we just made a bumper sticker.
Mm-hmm.
When I die, send me that big buffet in the sky.
It's our Pink Floyd cover album. Fat Floyd.
Stink Floyd.
Stink Floyd. Oh boy.
That was good.
That was a good one, buddy.
We got Q's. We gave A's.
Yep.
All right. I'm ready to just sign it off. That was a good one. We sent off on a nice...
Should we do a quick comic of the week?
You got one?
I got one. I got a couple.
Who you want to talk about?
Let's see. This week, let's go with... do you know Paige Weldon, L.A. comic?
I'm sad to say I know who she is, but I don't know her material.
I've done a lot of shows with Paige. Very funny. She put out an EP last year. Not a full hour. But
Jonah Ray's, was it literally figurative?
You know what? I thought that that's what it was on, but when I looked it up today, it said a special thing.
Oh, okay.
I think she was on a special thing, but I feel
Jonah's
like
Jonah's got some indie rock imprint of an imprint of an imprint.
Paige Weldon put out an EP last year called Uncomfortable at Best, and the reason she's on, she came to mind is I think she just recorded her next album. Of course, you know, being that she just recorded it, it's several months before that would see the light of day. But she does have an EP. Very funny, very prevalent and active in the Los Angeles comedy scene. Weldon, Weldon. Check her out. very funny. Check out Uncomfortable at Best, and then be on the lookout for her new album, I'm assuming yet untitled. Paige Weldon, Comic of the Week.
All right.
There we go.
Give it to her. No recipe. You know what? You send us a recipe. What would you like to see at that big buffet in the sky?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Maybe that's a good fantasy heaven buffet. I mean, we did last meals.
Yeah.
But that's last meals.
Mm-hmm.
What about forever meals?
Yeah.
Totally different idea.
Eternal meals.
What can you see as being the basis of something? You can change the toppings, like salad bar, but the toppings change.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where I'm going with that.
No, so there's something there. There's something there.
All right.
All right, buddy. You know where to find us on all the social media platforms.
We're out in the world.
Yeah. Holler at your boys.
Bless your hearts.
The Boogie Monster. We'll be right back.